Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Welcome to Dish Nation! Yay! All right, we just celebrated the 4th of July this past weekend, and we're still celebrating right here on Dish Nation.
Yeah. You doing okay there, Frank?
I'm doing better. Okay.
Today we're dishing about American celebrities from all over the country, and we thought it'd be fun to tell you where these celebs are from.
Oh, Brett is out today, but the Atlanta crew will join us later. But let's get this party started. What you got for us, Heidi from Indiana?
No. Well, Chewy from California. How appropriate that today we are going to talk about an actor from our capital, Washington, D.C., and all that right. Actor is Justin Theroux.
Cool.
Okay.
Justin Reno married Jennifer Aniston, and he recently shared that he was shocked at all of the attention that he got when he was involved with Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, come on.
Shocked. Oh, wow, really?
He was shocked. I'm surprised that he was shocked, but he was. And he recently said, quote, Jason Bateman gave me one of the most sage pieces of advice ever when all that was going on. He said, a character is about to be born, and that character is you. But it's not you. That character is angry. That character has got a problem. And so my advice is, don't follow that guy's storyline.
Wow.
What do you think? You think Sherry, do you think that's good advice? I mean, you even surprised her that he was shocked?
Yes, I absolutely believe that he was shocked, Heidi, because you hear about it, but until you are actually in it, you don't realize. You know, any men that I've always dated, they always said, oh, I can handle that. But by the seventh time they got called Mr. Shepherd, they got the camera shoved in their face, and they appeared on TMZ.
Oh.
When they were on TMZ, they were like, okay, I didn't know.
But Sherry, you had these guys walking through the airport carrying your wigs. I mean, it's really kind of degrading. You know what I mean?
Buy me a PS5, Mama. I'll carry all your wigs. You buy me all the video games I want, pizza. I'll carry all your wigs. I'll carry your Emmys. I'll carry all that. I'm Chewy Shepherd from here on out. Let's go.
All right.
He'll be your shepherd.
All right, guys. I love the movie Big, which starred Californian-born Tom Hanks. But did you know that the role almost went to, forget about it, New Yorker Robert De Niro? That's right. Elizabeth Perkins, who played Tom's love interest in the movie, recently explained. She said, Robert De Niro was actually cast in the role of Josh in the movie Big. It fell apart because he had a scheduling conflict, and then they went to Tom Hanks. It's like a totally different movie in my brain with Robert De Niro. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Frank, what would that movie have been like with Robert De Niro?
Well, I think they did actually try to shoot it, but then Robert De Niro punched out Zoltar, and then it's like, okay, what are we going
to do? You talking to me? Yeah. You talking to me, Zoltar?
Zoltar's supposed to show up at the end of the movie, but he's dead now, buried in a cornfield somewhere.
And now no other kids can make wishes.
Right.
Oh.
It just seems they're so different because Tom Hanks actually started out as, you know, doing comedies. So Big was, this, right. you know, this comedy. So I'd have a hard time picturing the intensity of Robert De Niro in Big.
But has anyone ever seen Robert De Niro on a trampoline? I'd love to see that.
Or on a giant piano.
Or the giant piano scene. Be like, I'm not playing that. I'm not playing the scene. I'm not playing the big piano. You talking to me, piano? You talking to me, piano?
Exactly.
All right, y'all. Quentin Tarantino from Knoxville, Tennessee, became a superstar thanks to his unique style of directing movies like Pulp Fiction, which I absolutely love.
Yes.
Well, recently, the cast of the long-running drama ER shared memories from the show, including the 1995 episode directed by Tarantino himself. Julian Margulies said, and I quote, when Quentin Tarantino came to direct us, and he was such a big fan of the show, he only did one take, so they didn't have a choice to edit. And I said, why are you doing that? And he said, it'll be my cut no matter what. End quote.
Wow. All smart.
Right. Sherry, is this strange? Do you is this a strange thing? You're an actress. How would you have reacted?
No, it's a nightmare. I mean, you have to end. You end up doing what the director says. But Chewie, you rehearse and you rehearse, and sometimes you find things. You know this. You know you're in a scene and you find even extra stuff to do or be, and you do another take or you mess up on the first take. So now you're all paranoid. Everything has to be perfect on the first take. I don't even know how they did that. That's a lot of
Sherry,
pressure.
Isn't that kind of beautiful that you've got, you can shoot an hour long drama and instead of being like, yeah, I'm on 14 hour days on the set. Cause there's a lot of that. Like, let's do it again. Perfect. Let's do it again. But if you're like, yeah, man, I'm home by noon. I'm shooting ER. I'm home by noon.
I say, don't be an actor if you want to be home by a certain time, because the more you do it, the more things come out and the more you evolve into those lines. So for me, I'm like, if you want to do it 9-10 times, I'm all for it. So if you want banker's hours, then don't be an actor.
Right.
Then do something else.
Here's the thing about Quentin Tarantino movies is that usually the scenes don't involve that many people. Usually it's like in a room or like it's a, you know, very small cast, very intense on the scenes. But in ER, I was an extra on ER once.
Stop it.
Really?
I know.
Really?
Yeah, I had a white lab coat on, I had the scrubs, and I had to push somebody in a wheelchair, like, because the scene is a very active ER. There's a lot of extras, a lot of stuff going on in the background.
How do you do a one take?
That's not Quentin Tarantino's type of show, so if an extra is like, hey, Mom! I mean, okay, I guess that's going to be in
But here's what I'm picturing.
In the show.
Here's what I'm picturing. A Quentin Tarantino, episode of ER is like, I need some epinephrine, motherfucker. Stat!
Whoa.
Okay, I got to stand up for my brother, New Jersey-born Frankie Jonas. Yes, there is a brotherhood of Frank.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, huh?
Yes, there is. And Frankie, who's now 20 years old, is the youngest sibling of Nick and Joe and Kevin, a.k.a. the Jonas Brothers. And they never let him forget it. See, back in the day, the guys referred to little Frankie as the bonus Jonas.
Oh.
And it's such a great nickname that it wouldn't go away. And Frankie said, you know, it really became a serious issue for me. I was this joke, and my entire identity to people was adjacent, which really affected the way I felt about myself.
Wow. Mm. I believe it, man. Wow.
It drove him to start a support group with Tito Jackson.
They did tease Tito, didn't they?
When talking about the sibling thing, what I will say is when my brother, who's 3 years older than me, was in the sixth grade, he learned, you learned your vocab words. And he came home, and he was 12, and I was 9. And he goes, oh, I learned a new vocab word today. You know what it is? Hideous, and that's you. And from the time I was 9 years old, my brother, all of his friends, everybody in the town, to this day, if I go back to Batesville, Indiana, and I run into anybody, like, hideous, what's up?
No.
I'm hideous. My name is ugly.
Well, it kind of sticks like bonus, Jonas.
I mean, now, hideous.
Did your brother ever apologize to you?
No.
Well, since then, all three of the brothers have apologized to Frankie, and he's carved out his own identity with his popular TikTok account.
Sweet.
And here's how the Jonas brothers know they're getting old is because now Frankie's a TikTok star.
Right, he's a TikTok star.
So now Frankie's got a little comment on the Jonas Brothers. So, are you Frankie's brothers? Now it's like, aha!
Yeah!
I finally did it!
You've never confronted him and told him how that felt?
No, because if I confront him, then it's going to get twice as bad for me.
Oh, yeah.
No, but no, he prepared me for dealing with Frank. I can, whatever.
I'm a joy compared to that guy.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm prepared for whatever.
Now I understand why Heidi left Indiana. Like, now I get it.
Now I get it.
All right, up next, did Snoop Dogg smoke with a former resident of Washington, D.C.?
Mm.
What? We'll tell you who after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, welcome back, y'all. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Okay. Sherry, let's welcome the Atlanta crew. Atlanta, how you doing?
Hey,
what's
Atlanta?
HK, what's going on with Gigi? Let us know.
Okay, so we all know that Gigi comes from a famous and rich family. Now, her dad is Muhammad Hadid, and he's a millionaire real estate developer, and her mama, Yolanda Hadid, was one of the housewives of Beverly Hills. Well, Gigi's dad shared a list of things that people didn't know about his daughter, Gigi, on Insta, and the first being that she's self-made. Mm. She never took a single dollar from her parents.
I don't know, huh?
I think that if your parents are known, that fame itself has value, okay? Just sometimes, right. You know how like in your neighborhood, you'd be like, oh, those are the Jefferson kids, or those are the Williamson right. kids. You know, right. the name carries, and it gives you certain opportunities. So it does not have to be actual money, but it's definitely not necessarily self-made, no.
No. Especially when you have a money last name, people will just let you into stuff just do. Because, oh, you wanted a Hadid's. Oh, you a Kennedy. Yeah. Come on through.
It's like saying Portia is not self-made. She self-made. Her grandfather marched with Martin Luther King, part of the Civil Rights Act. Had it not been for her grandfather, Portia wouldn't be on this show. So, honey, no, Portia is not self-made. She's made by her family. So let's just call it what it is, Portia.
I think I might be self-made, Gary.
Absolutely she is.
No.
For real, you better listen to your next governor, Gary. Listen to Portia, all right?
Boom.
So moving on, one of L.A.'s finest from Long Beach, to be exact, is my man Snoop Dogg. Now, Snoop has this song out now with a lot that has some people talking because it hints that he might have smoked out with our former president, Barack Obama. Now, the lyrics are, and hear this, y'all. Still sipping gin and juice while I'm smoking marijuana. I bet you never blew with Obama. Did it happen, y'all? Did it happen?
I definitely believe it probably happened. I mean, look, especially like, you know, now that Barack is no longer the president, and even probably why he was president. Just imagine how stressful that is. If Snoop is in the building, you're going to puff, puff, pass.
Who you think I smoke who had cracked? Do you think it was Obama or was it Snoop? Like, come on.
I would imagine at this point, Portia, like Snoop's body and DNA is probably half like THC this point. So I'm definitely sure Snoop outsmoked the president who has to like play it cool and make decisions.
After they got high, what do you think was their conversation?
Whatever they talked about sharing, neither one of them remember, I tell you that much.
Exactly.
They was high as a kite.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
All right, y'all. She was born in Columbus, Ohio, but Spring, Texas raised her. Now I'm talking about the talented Simone Biles. When Simone was on The Tonight Show, she told Jimmy Fallon that in preparation for the 2021 Olympics, she has been training for 7 hours a day. She has Sundays off.
Oh, Lord.
Can y'all believe this? Focus?
Yes, I can. Yeah. Because here's the thing, Sherry, like, that's the only job she has. She doesn't clock in anywhere and go do other things. Like, her job is to be a dope gymnast, so...
That's right.
Congratulations for having somewhat of a 9-to-5 that has breaks. Like, you gotta put in that work so you can be the best.
Well, Portia, I just wanted to know, because you've been working out lately. You've been posting your videos. And by the way, Mommy, you are looking muy, muy caliente with your workout.
Thank you, girl.
So, do you think that... you could follow Simone's schedule for just 1 week?
Hell no. I'm going to tell you something. I can follow her sleep schedule on the day she off.
Portia can train hand to mouth. That's her training, from hand to mouth.
Who can go in the refrigerator the fastest? Me.
Okay.
If you're training 7 hours a day, 6 days a week, what about the injury? Because that's a lot of stress on your body.
Her body's not as big as y'all. She's real small and petite, so it's not much injury, I don't think, you know?
Don't come for me because I'm flexible, Gary. I done showed you.
Okay.
Coming up, find out why fans are calling Candace Cameron Bure fake. That story plus more when we come right back.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back. Yay. Oh, my Lanta.
Yay.
Candace Cameron Bure, hailing from the City of Angels, had to call up her TV dad in the Bay, Bob Saget, for some help with trolls. Now, she was recently on her TV dad's podcast, Bob's Here For You, and the actress admitted that people call her fake because she's always so happy. Take a look.
Those people that think that I, because I am a happy, positive person, that I must be such a fake person.
Right.
Would you say that that's true or false?
You're the opposite of fake.
What's wrong with being happy?
Too happy. People don't like happy.
I think sometimes, though, Chewy, sometimes people feel like when you're so perky and you're so happy and you see the good in everything, they feel like you can't be empathetic to them when they're going through it or when they're down.
Right. That is absolutely true.
You're always trying to see good. And it's like, just be with me while I'm here instead of trying to take me there.
Like, Sherry, you're perky. You're perky, Sherry. What's wrong with being perky?
A lot of times I get called fake because I am so perky and I am so, like, bubbly. Mm. Barbara Walters even said, when I was a co-host on The View, sometimes she would go, what are you smiling for? Why are you always smiling? And I'd be like, because I'm happy.
But I will say this. I will say that, you know, there's nothing, and I appreciate perky people and happy people, and I think it's just, it's all about the timing, and sort of like Sherry was saying, it's like on a Monday morning when it's, you know, very early and somebody comes in and goes, good morning, how's everybody's weekend? Uh-huh. And you're just like, I'm not, I can't go there with you yet. I can't go there with like, oh my God, like, hi, do you guys have a great weekend?
I feel bad. I just said that, Heidi. I was like, good morning.
No. Sherry,
you
I've been up.
You should have seen Heidi's eyes roll.
Yeah. I've been up a while, Sherry. It's okay.
I love when Sherry starts the show off with her perky self. It's Dish Nation. Oh, yeah. It's great.
I love being on Dish so freaking much. I love you guys.
Okay, well, moving on from all this love fest.
Yes.
Allison Janney said the producers of her sitcom Mom freaked out when she showed up to work with short hair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, during an interview on The Tonight Show, Allison claimed nobody knew that she was wearing a wig for like 8 seasons of the show.
Wow.
And Sherry, since you are our resident wigologist and probably, you know, have experienced something like this, why don't you read the exchange between Allison and the producers?
Ooh. What have you done? How are we going to do? You should have asked us before you did this to your hair. And I'm like, guys, I've been wearing a wig since season 1, but nobody knew it. So everybody in the world knows about it now.
Sherry, has anybody ever freaked it? Because you do change your hairstyles quite a bit. Has anybody ever freaked out about you changing your look?
It's the men that freak out, like literally, because it's always different hair and they don't know what to expect. And they always ask me, what's underneath the wig? And I tell them, a weave. That's what's underneath the wig. Another wig and a weave.
When Sherry started on the show and then she'd have a different hairstyle every single day, I thought, my God, what time she get up to do her hair like that? I had no idea. I was like, damn.
So
I got
versatile.
Wigs in my glove compartment. I got wigs to go swimming in. Coming up, Viola Davis said she took it to the Lord in prayer for her hubby. We'll explain right after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Well, guys, she was born in South Carolina, but raised in Rhode Island. I'm talking about Miss Viola Davis. Yes, Queen Viola.
I love her so much.
Check this out. This made me love her even more and relate to her. So in a recent interview, Viola claims that she had struggles finding love until she put it in a prayer, Gary. Yes, right. She talked to the Lord above. Ooh. And here was her prayer. This is what she said, y'all. Okay, listen real hard. She said, I want a big black man from the South who looked like a football player and loves God more than himself. And just 3 weeks later, she met her husband, Julius Tenen. Wow.
Wow. Oh, my God.
The power of it.
Sherry, do you feel like
Can I tell you, is this powerful? Yes.
Like, her being that specific, is that what really got Viola her man?
You know, Portia, they say when you pray for something, you have to be specific. But I'm going to tell you, I used to go to church with Julius Tenen, and I remember when he brought Viola there for the first time, and I was like,
Really?
So, I think I need to start praying this because I never really prayed for his looks. I always said, give me what you want me to have. But I like the football player like.
I tell you one
man.
Thing, Sherry. Yeah. When you do pray the prayer, just make sure you follow through because I actually did the same thing. I remember I went down the aisle. It was prayer service.
Yes.
I went down and I said, told the pastor I wanted a husband. And I met my ex-husband only probably like about 6 months after that. But you got to follow it through, you know what I'm saying, and give a little more details.
I feel awful now because I'm on my knees for the wrong thing then. I need to pray more.
Yeah, that's not what they meant when they said, let them use you, Gary.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.